Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, welcome to Bhajan Tutor after Vedam Tutor. And like always, let us begin by offering ourselves in Bhagwan's lotus feet. Today is a Thursday, and every Thursday you have the opportunity of listening to the divine voice in Cycle 1000, and it happened today too. And every time you listen to the divine voice, every time you have Cycle 1000 reverberate with that magic of Bhagwan himself singing Sai Bhajans, it always reminds me of how painstakingly Bhagwan has trained us all these years into the sadhana. How much he loved this sadhana and how much he wanted that we do this sadhana steadfastly, flawlessly, and we spread the joy of this sadhana. And we in Radio Sai are so happy that in some way we are part of this. We are part of this global bhajan movement. We are part of the Sai family, which is bound with this beautiful thread of devotional singing. Very rarely will you find a Sai devotee who does not like Sai bhajans. In fact, you may find people who like bhajans but may not be a devotee. But rarely you will find someone who is a Sai devotee and does not like bhajans. Bhajans have that power to transmute us, to sublimate us. So let's begin with another session of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 6:49. So let's get started. Let us close our eyes and picturize him in our mind's eye.
Let us offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we walk steadfastly on the path laid down by you, so that with truth and righteousness in our hearts and peace and love in our minds and our looks and our thoughts and our words and our deeds, we march towards the goal shown by you, demonstrated by you. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The Bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Rama. This Bhajan is in Sanskrit, and the first line of the Bhajan goes like this.
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama.
So that is how this bhajan begins, and as you move on in the bhajan classroom, you will learn everything about this bhajan, the lyrics, the tune, the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end, we will listen to Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who shares some of his reflections about bhajan singing and about the aspect of bhava in bhajan singing. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama Rajiva Lochana Raja Rama Raja Rama Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana Taraka Nama Atma Rama Sai Rama Kali Mala Bhanjana Kodanda Rama.
So those are the words that make the bhajan, and now let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale B Pancham. Shri Raghunandana Sitarama
Shambhugunandana Sitarama
Shri Raghunandana Sitarama
Shri Raghunandana Sitarama
Rajivalochana Raja Rama
Rajivalochana Raja Rama
Rajivalochana Raja Rama
Rajivalochana Raja Rama
Raja Rama
this bhajan so melodious, and here we have in the studio Anirudh to tell us about the raga and about the composition of this bhajan. So Anirudh, what are your impressions on the technicalities of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
It's a beautiful melody, this bhajan, especially the tune is very scintillating and
soothing.
Yeah, very soothing, and more what comes to my mind, it's more like a lullaby type which puts you to sleep.
Yes.
The raga and the flow of the notes chosen for this composition is such a way. And definitely when we do the swaras, we'll appreciate it better.
Yes.
Like how exactly the composer has put the notes and the lyric in place. Like Shri Raghunandana. The word Nandana, it's in the same swara. It has its own beauty. Shri Raghunandana Sitarama, and ending in the dhva. Gamapasanida. So it's a beautiful melody, and so when you look at the raga aspect, it has both the flavors of Shankaravarnam, Bilaval, and the Alaya Bilaval, what they call is Harikamboji in the Carnatic music, which deviates from Shankaravarnam only in the ni. Instead of Shuddhini, it is Komal ni. So it is like Sarigama Padhani Sani Sani ni. That ni is ni one, Komal ni. Sani Dhapa Manga Re Sa. So just by the shift of a knee from Shuddha to Komal, the feel of the bhajan changes, and especially when you give the gliding touches to that knee. That makes it more soothing, and which those touches are there in this bhajan, especially Raja Rama, makes it more pleasant and melodious.
Amazing. So maybe you should do a little alap on this.
I'll try it.
Shankar Varnam and Hari Kampoji combination.
Yeah. Second line, it goes to the Shankara Varnam. Again, it comes back to the Hari Kamboji flavor. Actually, that bhajan is a mix of many ragas. It has a desh flavor and but somehow that and also the last line in that bhajan. And when you connect from this line to the second speed, we can give a beautiful connection. It goes like this. Yes. So it gives a bridge from the Komalini feel to the Shankara Varnam, which is this Shuddha.
Wonderful. So shall we go and explore more this bhajan by looking at the Swaraswari line?
Yeah, definitely. Before that, I'm just reminded of the other bhajans. As I sang the alap, I was getting reminded of other bhajans and this combination of the both the knees. Hari 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 Bolo Hari Hari Ni 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 Da Ma Ga Pa Pa. It's a beautiful bhajan.
Yes.
And in fact, you have Swami's bhajan. Hari Bhajan Bina Sukh Shanti Nahi. In that also you have Guru Seva Bina Nirvana Nahi. Daya Dharma Bina Bhagavan Bina Koi Apna Nahi. And the glide to the Komal Ni. Saina Bina Paramatma Nahi.
Beautiful.
Beautiful bhajan, no words.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Beautiful in every respect.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's go to our bhajan for this episode and do the swaras.
Yeah, we'll do the first line.
Yeah.
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama Gama Gapa Papa Gama Pasanida
Gama Gapa Papa Gama Pasanida
Rajiva Lochana Raja Rama Ninisanisa Padanirinida
Ninisanisa Padanirinida
Raja Rama Gamanidapa
Gamanidapa
Sai Rama Gama Pasanidapa
Gama Pasanidapa
Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana Taraka Nama Nini Sasada Gada Gari Maga Sasani Atma Rama Sai Rama Maga Ma Pa Maga Gama Pa Ma Pa Maga Ga Ga
Maga Ma Pa Maga Gama Pa Ma Pa Maga Ga Ga
Kali Mala Bhanjana Kodan Sasani da 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 Madani di ni da pa
Gasasani da 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 Madani di ni da pa
Kali malabhanjana Kodanda rama Gari magasani da da Madani di ni da pa
So that was beautiful. So many bhajans, they sound so melodious and interesting
when you hear it with the swaras.
Yeah. So shall we discuss the beat of the bhajan?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is 8B, Aditalam. And the count is, we'll have 2 by 4 since it's a slow bhajan. 1, 2, 1.
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama.
I think so. You have done some justice to the beat as well as the raga of this bhajan. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Vishu. Sairam.
Sairam.
So with that, we now know the lyrics, the raga and the power of this bhajan. Let's move on now to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to the beloved Lord. And for this, we really need to know the meaning of all the words in this bhajan, at least to some extent. So let's start with the first line.
Shri Raghunandana Sita Rama.
The first word here is Shri, which is often used as a mark of respect. Raghunandana comes from Raghu and Nandana. Raghu refers to Emperor Raghu, the great grandfather of Lord Rama. The clan of Lord Rama is often called the Raghu dynasty because King Raghu was so impeccable in character and was an able administrator during his rule over the kingdom of Ayodhya. And the word Nandana means son. In another context, it also means one who gladdens. So Raghunandana refers to Lord Rama, who was a son born in the lineage of King Raghu. It refers to Lord Rama, who was a delight to everyone in the Raghu dynasty. Moving on, the third word is Sita. King Janaka was one day turning the sword on the grounds where he had decided to perform a yajna, a sacrifice, and he found a vessel in the furrow.
When he removed and examined it, he saw in it a charming baby girl. Since the child came from the farm, she was named Sita, and King Janaka brought her up with much love. Bhagavan says that Sita is born of the earth and is the child of the earth. Hence, she represents Prakriti or nature. The last word in this line is Rama, and it means one who is pleasing and lovable. Ramate iti Rama, the one who is very endearing. The inner significance of this word Rama, Bhagavan explains, is that it has three syllables, Ra, A and Ma. Ra represents the fire god which burns away our sins. A represents Surya or sun god which dispels the darkness of ignorance. And Ma represents Chandra or moon god, god that cools one's temper and produces tranquility. Thus the name Rama has the triple power of washing away one's sins, removing one's ignorance and tranquilizing one's mind. Let's dwell a little more on the inner meaning of this name Sita Rama. At the superficial level, this name denotes that Lord Rama is the divine consort of Mother Sita, but there is much deeper significance to this. As we saw earlier, Bhagavan Baba always stressed that Mother Sita represents nature and that Lord Rama is the eternal divine consciousness from which emerged nature. Hence, Lord Rama is the master of nature. Nature in all its pristine glory and its bounty is as much a part of the divine as we human beings are. Can you imagine life without nature? Nature is selfless. It gives us so much without expecting anything. Gives us so much, so selflessly. And that is the reason why we should always respect nature. We cannot exploit or desecrate nature. In fact, various natural calamities strike suddenly. It is only because we misuse the gifts of nature for our selfish ends. When a perfect balance is maintained in ecology, seldom would we have to encounter nature's fury. Let me narrate here a telling incident. Madurantakam is a small town about 70 kilometers to the south of the city of Chennai, and there is a rich legend associated with this place. It is said that Lord Rama himself came here during his search for Sita. There is a big tank in the neighborhood and Rama is supposed to have had a bath here during his visit. In later years, a temple for Rama was also built. Sometime in 1795, there was a deep depression in the Bay of Bengal which led to heavy rain in and around Madurantakam. The then collector, Colonel Lyman Price, was alerted that the lake was full and that there was imminent danger which could result in severe damage to surrounding properties. So Colonel Price headed for Madurantakam. He inspected the lake, ordered for the bridge to be plugged, and then decided to visit the Rama temple. When he entered the temple, he found the premises in a dilapidated condition, and as he looked around, he saw some bricks heaped in a corner. Upon inquiry, the temple priest told him that the bricks were meant for constructing a temple for Mother Sita, but construction could not be carried out because of lack of funds. Since the huge tank regularly breached during cyclones, it led to severe loss for the people of the region, and so they could not raise enough funds to complete the construction. And when Colonel Price heard this, then sarcastically he remarked, "Oh, how come your Rama is not coming to your rescue here? Why doesn't he not protect the tank and allow you to build the temple for his concert?" When Colonel Price spoke in this way, the temple authorities were deeply hurt and they replied, "Sir, next time there is an emergency, you will definitely see my Rama coming to our rescue." And shortly after that, there was a heavy downpour, and this time the situation was really serious. Colonel Price again rushed to Madurantakam and he found a ferocious storm raging and the fury of the nature simply stunned him. He felt that no one could do anything to protect anyone. God alone was his refuge there. And even as he was thinking like this, he noticed a big crowd of villagers taking shelter in the temple and an elderly man talking incessantly about Lord Rama, about his glory and his power. And although he was a Christian, at that moment Colonel Price silently prayed, "O Lord Rama, they say you are great. In that case, please save us all. If you respond to my prayers, I shall build a temple for your concert." And the moment Colonel Price finished this silent prayer, there was a flash of lightning and he had a vision of Rama and Lakshmana smiling.
He just simply exclaimed, "Look there, look there!"
And he fainted. And when he regained consciousness, Colonel Price found himself in a comfortable bed in human quarters. He felt relieved to hear that the rains had stopped miraculously and that the water level in the lake was now at a safe level. Colonel Price felt most grateful to the man who had come to his rescue in such a dramatic manner. Not only Colonel Price, but the entire populace of Madhurantakam realized that it was Lord Rama who had come to the rescue, and so even today, the temple deity there is hailed not just as Rama, but as the Rama who protected the tank. That is the Madhura story, the beautiful story of Madhurantakam, and that is the glory of Sita Rama, Rama who is truly the master of nature. So when we sing this line, Shura Vunandana, Sita Rama, we bow down to the Lord who incarnated as the beloved son in the Raghu dynasty and the one who gladdened the hearts of all, the divine consort of Mother Sita, the undisputed master with full control over entire creation. Let's move on to the second line.
Rajivalochana Raja Rama.
The first word here is Rajivan, which means lotus. The second word is Lochana, which means eye. Why is this phrase lotus eye used to describe Lord Rama? Brahman says that lotus, which stays deep in the mind, comes up to the night, but it cannot stay without water because it will die. However, it does not get mixed up either with the mud or the water. Even if water comes on the lotus flower, it rolls off. Brahman says that when people talk of God, he is always described as having lotus eyes, lotus feet and so on. Because of this inner significance, when God incarnates in human form, he acts just like any human, but in reality he is not affected by anything. He is always blissful, he is not in the least impacted by the environment he is in, just like the lotus that grows in the slush. And that is what we have seen in the life of Lord Rama and in the life of Sai Rama. Lord Rama displayed equanimity in all situations. He was never perturbed by anything. When Mother Kekeyi asked Lord Rama to go into the exile for 14 years, he gladly accepted without objecting. And he displayed the same equipoise that he had shown a day earlier, when he was informed that he would be crowned as the heir to the throne. In all situations, he was always a frame of supreme peace and equanimity. And that is what you saw also in Sai Rama. Even as a child, when people hailed him as a Brahmagyani, as a guru, Mara smiled. And when they tortured him, when people fed him with poison vadas, when people burnt his house, even then he smiled. When people follow his instructions and live up to his expectations, he smiles. When people do not do that, still he smiles and he forgives. He always smiles. Moving on, the word Raja means king, and so Raja Ram refers to Lord Rama, who was undoubtedly the crest jewel among all the kings of his entire clan. In the Ramakatha Samayana, Bhagavan reveals what an exemplary king Rama was. He says, Rama spoke to his subjects even before they spoke to him, so ardent was his love towards them. He lovingly inquired about their welfare and was full of sympathy for them. So the subjects too loved him as their staunchest friend and dearest kinsman, and they revered him for his affectionate interest in them. Bhagavan further adds, Rama paid detailed attention to even the smallest detail of administration and took adequate precautions to see that problems and complexities do not raise their heads once they are solved and set right. Bhagavan always hailed the Rama Raja, the rule of King Rama, which was marked with truth, righteousness, peace and love. So in this line, Rajiva Lochana, Raja Rama, we adore the lotus-eyed one who taught through his own example how we should remain untouched, both by praise and blame, joy and sorrow. We glorify the Lord who demonstrated to the world the ideals of righteous living. Let's move on to the third end.
Raja Rama.
We already discussed the meaning of the word Raja Rama. So in this line, we bow reverentially to Lord Rama, who shone as a wonderful king during his rule over the kingdom of Ayodhya. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Sai Rama.
Here we hear Sai Rama, we say how the same majestic enduring Lord Rama is now with us as Sai Rama. How in his presence truth awakens within us, our hands and our lips purple to do the right thing, our mind becomes calm and peace, and how our heart is filled with love. How the same Sai Rama is here with us teaching Satya Dharma Shanti Prema to us all the time. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana Taraka Nama.
Bhava means worldly existence, Bhaya means fear, and the third word Bhanjana means to destroy. The fourth word Taraka means that which can ferry across, and the last word is Nama, which means name. Let me share here the real life experience of Mr. P.S. Kannan, a man of principles and integrity. He is a retired income tax official from Chennai. People who were aware of his unique character always maintained a respectable fear because of his highest standards of integrity that Mr. Kannan always set for himself. During the wealth tax assessment of a well-known personality, Mr. Kannan found that the value of a property was mentioned at a much lower figure, whereas the advance he received for selling just a part of the property was itself much more. Hence, he sent it for formal valuation, which resulted in the property being assessed at ₹1 crore. Now, when Mr. Kannan did this, that person was very upset, and he personally came to Mr. Kannan's office and he tried to convince him to assess the property at a lower value. He even invited Mr. Kannan to a party at his home, which of course Mr. Kannan flatly refused. Not only that, Mr. Kannan conveyed politely but firmly that what he had done was the right way to assess, and also that this would be the only way he would be doing it. And now that person became even more upset, but still he had not given up. He tried to lure him with gifts. But what can tempt a person who considers righteousness as his very breath? The case ultimately was referred to an appellate authority, where it was not only confirmed that Mr. Kannan's viewpoint was right, but it was also very well appreciated. And Mr. Kannan was never under any tension, never under any tension, because his conscience was clear and his approach, he knew, was as per proper procedure. He didn't buckle down to the pressure from higher authorities and influential people. And when asked how he had the strength required to face such challenging situations and come out unscathed, Mr. Kannan simply replied, following the right path by itself is a spiritual practice. And then he went on to say that he had the habit of writing Rama Nama or the name of Lord Rama whenever he required to recharge himself. So that was his power, that was his inspiration, that was his strength. And that is the strength which can give us courage to face boldly any tough situation in our lives too. That is Taraka Rama. So in this line we praise the supreme name of Lord Rama, which destroys the fear of worldly life and which ferries us across this ocean of mundane existence, which fills us with self-confidence. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Atma Rama Sai Rama.
Atma, you know, refers to the soul. In the preface to the book Ramakatha Rasamini, Bhagavan writes, Rama is the indweller in every body. He is the Atma Rama, the source of bliss in every individual. His blessings upsurging from that inner spring can confer peace and bliss. And in the book,
He explains through an incident how even the common citizens realize Rama as the very Atma that resides within each of them. When Rama is exiled into the forest, the citizens of Ayodhya follow him, Sita and Lakshmana, and plead with them to return. Rama is moved by their love for him, and he tries to persuade them to go back when they are not ready to give up. And so he asks them to take rest and refreshments for the night rather than trek back in the darkness. Rama knows that after they wake up, they will now insist on accompanying him. And so he wakes up much early and directs his minister Sumantra to get the chariot ready without any noise. He asks him to drive the vehicle so that its track may not be recognized. And thus, he leaves for the forest along with Sita and Lakshmana in the very early hours of the morning. When dawn breaks, the citizens find no sign of Rama, Sita and Lakshmana, and they are grief-stricken. They lament their fate that Rama has left them and gone away, and even contemplate killing themselves. But soon they realize that the Atma or the Self in them is Rama, and that they should not do the unthinkable act of killing themselves, because they would be hurting Rama which is there within them, because Rama is in them as Atma Rama, and that's why they soon return to Ayodhya. So in this line, Atma Rama, Sai Rama, we offer our loving salutations and respect to Lord Sai, who resides in each one of us. As Atma Rama, as Sai Rama, Bhagavan has always said, S-A-I means see always inside. He is the one who is always within us, as Atma Rama, as Sai Rama. Let's move on to the last line.
Kalimala Bhanjana Kodandarama.
The first word here is Kalimala. Kali refers to the Kali age, the present age, and Mala refers to the impurities and negativities associated with this age. Bhanjana means to annihilate. Kodanda refers to the bow that Lord Rama wielded, the powerful bow with which Rama decimated the demon, the bow which could strike the enemy on target with powerful force and with accuracy. So in this line, Kalimala Bhanjana Kodanda Rama, we hail Lord Rama as the vanquisher of all negativities and impurities associated with the current times. He is the one who wields the powerful Kodanda bow, and the weapon that Lord Rama now has as Sai Rama, Bhagavan says, is this powerful, accurate weapon of love. The only weapon Bhagavan says I have come on this avatar is with this weapon of love. And with that weapon, he does not decimate us, but he transforms us. He does not vanquish us, but he changes our attitude. He is here not to annihilate us, but he is here only to elevate us. So with that, dear listeners, we have finished giving a glimpse of the subtle meaning of some of the words of this bhajan. And now, with this deeper understanding, let's proceed and listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashantinam Mandir. Conversation with Brother Malram Chandan, a former student of Lawrence University, who had the privilege to sing in the divine physical presence all through the student years, and even now sings in Prashantana whenever he's in the divine hamlet, as well as sings regularly in Sundaram Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. He is a member of the Sundaram Bhajan group.
See, I have heard of this particular thing, Brother. You said it's quite natural, so it just struck me. I believe it was his daughter's wedding, Tyagaraja's daughter's wedding. And, you know, when we have a wedding in our family and it is your daughter's wedding, and you would go and place a invitation card in front of Swami and pray for his presence. Now, somebody like me would place the card in front of Swami and then pray. But very honestly, I wouldn't expect Swami to come in that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being very truthful. I'm saying that you place, yeah, that's what you want to be, but, yes. But you know, in reality, I'm telling you, that's what happens. But I believe when Tyagaraja goes and invites Rama and Ramananda to him, for him, I believe that his house was not his house, but it was Rama's house, and he was a servant there. So that's how he used to consider this. And I believe Swami mentioned this about Tyagaraja, about this, he having this attitude. So Tyagaraja placed this in the shrine room and said, Swami, you must come for the wedding. And I believe when the rituals were going on, and he is the bride's father, and if you see the South Indian system of wedding, the bride's father has got the maximum job to do in terms of the havan and stuff like that. But this man is busy, nowhere near the havan. He is standing right outside, and people ask him, what are you doing? You're supposed to take care of the wedding ceremonies. He says, no, I'm waiting for Rama to come. And he sincerely believes Rama will come.
My God.
And I believe at that point of time, from a distance, and you can imagine, it was an open panorama. It was an open, I think it was open vista. There was nothing. I mean, there were no buildings, nothing opposite to the place where the wedding was happening. And right from a distance, one of the disciples of Tyagaraja was coming to attend the wedding. Now, he wanted to carry something which would please his guru. And he knew his guru loved Rama the most. So, he carried a huge portrait of Rama, Sita, Lakshmana, and then Hanuman. And he was carrying this portrait, he was bringing that. So, he had not wrapped it up. He was carrying the portrait as it is. And I believe that this disciple was of short build.
Mm-hmm.
So he was carrying the photo in front of him and I was walking. And Tyagaraja sees this from a distance and for him, it was Rama, Sita and Lakshmana coming for the wedding.
Yeah.
Because he could see just the legs and the portrait walking. And I believe it is in that moment that he sang a kriti called Nannu Palim Panadachi Vachide. He says that to take care of me, O Rama, you actually came walking. Now this, if you see, is composed in Mohanam, a raga called Sahajigapadasa Mohanam. You know, we have a family temple in our place, this place called Trichur in Kerala. A few years before, somebody brought something to my attention. You know, it is a Sri Rama temple. So, during the Brahmotsavam which happens, there are a lot of rituals which happen. One of the rituals is actually invoking the presence of Lord Rama. So to invoke the presence of each deity, they play a particular raga and a particular tala.
Okay.
So that's the science. It's a science. The science they follow. I was amazed to notice that for invoking Rama, the raga which is played was Mohanam.
Oh.
Now here if you actually see, Tyagaraja Swami is saying, Nannu Palimpa Nadachiyachide. He's saying Nannu Palimpa. So he's actually invoking, or Rama is walking towards him while he sings Mohanam.
Yes. So that was a small excerpt from a conversation with Mother Bal Ramchandran, a Prashanti Mandir Bhajan singer, as well as a Sundaram Mandir Bhajan singer. And with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
So with that, dear listeners, we come to the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleague Prem is waiting along with Hari Shankar for yet another episode of Shravanam Mananam Nidhyasanam, the series based on Bhagwan's discourses. So enjoy this nectar of Bhagwan's voice and his message, and I will be back in 1 hour for yet another episode, a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today we will have a live conversation with 4 members of the Sai family, 3 former students of Bhagwan's University and a young doctor from the General Hospital who had the opportunity to visit Karwar, the district of Karwar in the state of Karnataka in India, and the opportunity that they had to interact with over 1,000 students who were not from a Sai background, who had the opportunity to take Bhagwan's message from the confines of Prashantinilayam into the hearts of eager young minds, ensuring that in them is instilled a quest for deeper knowledge of life, a quest for a deeper purpose of life. So we will listen to them, we will listen to what they experienced, we will listen to what we can learn from their experience. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, enjoy Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much, and Sairam.